You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
And Breeze Street in Brunswick. So you just pay for your food and drinks and starts at 6:30pm and keeps going until it finishes. So come along if you're a 3CR listener, especially if you're a listener of the Anarchist World this week, if you're a member of any particular activist group or a member of none, and you want to meet like-minded people, tonight's the night. That's Wednesday, the 6th of August, 6:30pm, Naruda Restaurant, the corner of Albion Street and Breeze, B-R-E-A-Z-E Street, near the railway station. So hopefully there'll be a few people there tonight. Now, on the 20th, that's right, Wednesday the 20th of August at the Footscray Hotel, 48 Hopkins Street, Footscray, I'll be doing a presentation on the background to the Australian Constitution. I know it sounds exciting. Well, it is exciting when you actually look at the background, but what came out of all that debate is a different matter, but we'll talk about that on that particular day. Now, next week, I'm taking a week off. Not that it's of any interest to anybody except myself, but I'll be doing a theoretical type of Anarchist World this week, which will be broadcast next week. So next week, if you're looking for scintillating, boring analysis of what's happening in the world today, yeah, well, you won't get it on the Anarchist World this week, but we'll be taking an in-depth look at the Australian Constitution. That's the great thing about listening to the Anarchist World this week. You get a lot of boring commentary regarding some boring issues which have a profound impact on our lives. So that's... Oh, yes, just to remind people that nominations for the Eureka Australia Medals are now open. We give 6 Eureka Australia Day medals down at Ballarat on Eureka Day on the 3rd of December. Nominations close on the 20th of November. So if you know somebody out there who has made a contribution, whether it's people are aware of it or not is irrelevant, but a contribution to that struggle for rights and humanity, that struggle which is encapsulated in the Eureka Oath, give us a call. Write to us. Here we go. The cows have arrived. And I think there is a God. I had a coughing fit before we started because I made a facetious comment to all those wonderful people that ensure that the program goes to air. Now, if you wonder what anarchy is all about, anarchos without rulers, not without rules. What gives rulers the ability to determine the lives of billions of people? Inequalities in power and wealth. Nothing highlights this more than when the buffoon in Washington, you know, passes wind and the whole world reacts. How pathetic. How pathetic. It's a society where wealth is held in common, not in the hands of billionaires and used for the common good. You know, people say anarchists cause chaos and destruction. Well, if you want chaos and destruction, look at all the wonderful thing that rulers around the world are currently doing. Starving people in Gaza, bombing people in the Ukraine, you know, denying basic medical care to billions of people, allowing people to live the most, you know, distressing of lives, even in Australia, where 1/3 of the populations relies on social security benefits to survive. Just an extraordinary thing. So if you want to see chaos, look around you. Look at the coral bleaching in the Great Barrier Reef. Look at the mounds of plastic. Look at how corporatisation has reduced you and me to basically nothing more than consumers. Carping, complaining, consumers. Think about it. Anarchists haven't done that. It's the current system that does it. So let's move on. Now, fear stalks the land. Sounds a little bit excessive, doesn't it? You know, we're not being bombed. We're not being starved. Most of us aren't being, you know, taken to jail for political crimes, although we have seen an increasing number of people imprisoned for environmental protests in this country. But the fact is, fear does stalk Australia. And it's a fear that's a little bit like oxygen. You know, we all need oxygen to survive. You know, and if we weren't able to breathe oxygen for a few minutes, you'd be in big trouble. And it's the same with us in Australia. Well, obviously we have oxygen, but it's the same principle. Because we live in a private investment for private profit world. Fortunately, in this country, because of the struggles of generations, we have a social security net. Obviously, there are some holes in that social security net and people fall through, but there is a social security net. But the rest of the population is divided into investors, which is a relatively small percentage of the population, anywhere between 5 to 8%, and wage earners. Investors and wage earners. We've got investors, wage earners, social security beneficiaries and self-funded retirees. So there is a fear, and that fear is based on your ability to generate an income to meet your responsibilities, which means if you've got children you care for, their needs, to meet your basic human needs like shelter, food, and obviously all those bills that continue to flood into your home every week. So a wage system is what is fundamental to creating fear in our community. And the great majority of people do the sensible thing, in inverted commas, and keep their heads down. They don't raise their heads above the parapet. They don't complain except to each other in a backyard barbecue or where they're bitching on Zoom or in a chat room somewhere. They keep their heads down. And they keep their heads down because they know, especially in an era where every conversation can find itself somewhere in the cloud to haunt you years down the track. The fact is that fear stalks the land. And it's a fear that you will lose your income stream. And in a capitalist society, the difference between survival or prospering and failing is 6 weeks' wages. So obviously, most people keep their heads down, irrespective of the horrors they see around them. So this fear will become even more, it'll become more a part of everyday life as we move to artificial intelligence. Because the times that there is greatest dislocation in any society is when people's income stream is threatened. And threatened by technological innovation, as we saw in the Industrial Revolution, with the closure of the commons and all the riots that resulted as a consequence of that. As we saw with the beginning of the computer age, and as we will see, and are we beginning to see, as we move into the artificial intelligence. So we have now reached a situation where an increasing number of people are fearful of losing what they have because they will be outsourced by artificial intelligence. Not outsourced, jobs not being outsourced to China or Russia or wherever you want to outsource them, you know, India, Bangladesh, but they'll be outsourced to artificial intelligence. And in a capitalist society, which is based on a wage system, as pressures increase on people, as their jobs disappear, governments are faced with a serious problem. Because as people's options disappear, people take action. They protest. They revolt. So we're reaching a juncture in human history, especially in the Western world, where we need to be looking at other ways via which people's basic necessities are met outside a social security system. And I'm talking about things like a universal basic income, because society doesn't need everybody to be a wage slave in order to prosper. I mean, artificial intelligence is a little bit like having a slave. Yes, it's come back, the cough. I've used the word artificial intelligence and wage slave. So, fear stalks the land, and it will continue to stalk the land until an increasing number of Australians realise that the only way forward is to put their head above the parapet and demand a share of the profits which are made in this country. And as I keep saying ad nauseum, 26 million people living on a continent shouldn't have the problems we face today. There shouldn't be so many people living in poverty. There shouldn't be so many people having no future. We shouldn't be seeing this escalation in mental health issues. We shouldn't be seeing an escalation in crime. And these are the symptoms of an underlying malaise. And that malaise has been accelerated through privatisation of public assets, through corporatisation, which means fewer and fewer companies dominate the marketplace. For example, Ingham's Chicken dominates 40% of the chicken market, chicken flesh market, and all this goes on and on. So, you know, globalisation and deregulation. So here we are in 2025 facing the same problems that people faced at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, at the beginning of the computer age, as we enter the artificial intelligence age. And as I keep saying, this program, it's nothing different to what happened 2,000 years ago when the Roman Empire expanded and expanded. And instead of using artificial intelligence, they were able to use slaves to do the work. The ruling class of the patricians used slaves. They had no longer need for plebeians. But plebeians had political power. And in order to keep a lid on dissent and protest and reform and revolution, they introduced their own universal basic income, a bread and circuses strategy, subsidising basic necessities, including food and wealth for plebeians, and in having ways to which entertain people. You know, at one stage in the Roman Empire in the first century, there were 246 public holidays. All right, let's move on. So fear stalks the land, and that fear will increase because of increasing insecurity, which is linked to the way people derive an income. And in a capitalist society, a private investment based on private profit for private investment, which is linked to a wage system, that fear will increase, that security will increase as people find that the work they are currently doing, which allows them to live the lifestyles they now enjoy, disappears. You're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. Heard of iScribe? Well, most people hadn't. Came on the marketplace about 2 years ago. It's a very interesting little artificial intelligence, you know, innovation. But it's got a lot of issues, and most Australians don't seem to understand. 50% within 2 years, 50% of general practices, especially the corporatized general practices, are now using iScribe as an aid. So what's iScribe? Well, obviously it's not a new scalpel or a new blood pressure machine. iScribe is a computer program which allows a consultation, a private consultation between a doctor or a health professional of some type and the client or the patient to be taped. Not in terms of a two-way process between the doctor and the patient, but it's a three-way process. You have the platform and those people who own the platform. You have the doctor and you have the patient. Now, APRA, the association which regulates the interaction between health professionals and patients and clients, has stated categorically that if the doctor or the health professional you are seeing uses iScribe to keep a track of the conversation and then uses that material to generate referrals, scripts, you need to give permission. Not a general permission, but a permission as the patient for every consultation. Because in the old days, if you did a consultation with a health professional, you know, they made notes on a piece of paper. Those notes were kept in Australia for 7 years. If you're an adult, if you're a child, legally you needed to hold those notes for 25 years. And the only people who had access to those notes were the doctor and you if you asked for access to maybe a summary or the notes themselves. But today, with the introduction of iScribe, iScribe is a platform. And the dilemma is, who owns that material which is collected? It's not owned by the doctor. It's not owned by the medical clinic. It is not owned by the patient. But it is actually owned by the platform which has created iScribe. And that's the dilemma. Confidentiality between a health professional and the person receiving that care is fundamental in Australia in the 21st century. It's a fundamental right, that confidentiality. But as we see, as more and more sources of information are hacked, what will happen is that information can go, you know, can be on the web for generations. Your personal medical information, all those doubts you have, your medical issues, and not only that, it also could be sold off to a third party, to insurance companies, because the doctor doesn't have control of it. But the only positive thing about iScribe is that it isn't the personal property of some platform outside of Australia. So next time you have a medical consultation, if you want to keep that confidential, make sure you deny permission to the doctor to use iScribe. I mean, you'll be told it's in your best interest, but we're always told everything is in our best interest. And many times when we're told it's in our best interest, it may be initially, but long term, it may not be. So think about it. And this is something that's happening not just in medical practices, but it's happening in all types of interactions, whether it's interaction with a government service, whether it's interaction with a private corporation, where material is kept and not deleted, even when you no longer have any association with that particular corporation or that particular medical practice. So this is something we need to keep in mind, because there are certain aspects of people's everyday life, especially the health conditions they have, where if other parties have access to them, it can have fundamentally negative consequences on them in terms of the insurance they can receive, the care they receive, the interaction which occurs with particular government departments. So think about it. It's not just a matter of, you know, thinking that everything you put on the web, everything you say on a telephone is somehow your private information. It's not. And if it sounds a bit Orwellian, well, it is. You're listening to The Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. As I speak, there is an international conference going on regarding plastics. Plastic production is at the heart of this international conference because it seems, well, it's a fact that plastics cause problems, not only to human beings, but to every life form on the planet. And obviously, as we move from fossil fuels, which are a fundamental ingredient for the production of plastics, to more renewable energy, the role that plastics have in society is becoming increasingly important. But like the climate emergency, we're seeing very little headway in the real world in terms of minimising the production of plastics, because obviously, as those nation states which rely on fossil fuels for their wealth and the power they are able to exercise over other parts of the globe, fighting tooth and nail to retain the ability to produce plastics at a ever increasing rate, irrespective of the increasing public health issues, not just environmental, but public health issues. It's not just a matter of recycling. It's more than recycling. It's not just a matter of bringing your own bags to the supermarket. It's much more than that. It's about producing plastics. It's about the amount of plastics that are produced, obviously, and how we maintain the environment and humanity free of plastics. Now, it's interesting to note, and you may not be aware of this, and I wasn't aware of this, and I thought I, you know, keep my finger on the pulse, and obviously I wasn't, that 25% of deaths which occurred in the world in the last 12 months, I mean the previous financial year, 25% of deaths were due to environmental factors. That's an extraordinary high number of deaths. I mean, if you went back 50 years, you'd find that, you know, deaths would be due to starvation, deaths would be due to infectious disease. But we're not now talking 25% of deaths due to environmental factors. Not just those environmental factors that we're aware of, like floods and fires and cyclones, but I'm talking about those environmental factors we really take no notice of. A little bit like the air we breathe, like that fear I spoke about which stalks the nation. Environmental factors which are responsible for increasing rates of colorectal cancers and colonic cancers and breast cancers, as well as the environmental factors which cause increased respiratory disease, things like emphysema and asthma and carcinoma. So we are not only drowning in our own effluent, we are crippled by the type of industries and societies we have created. And the fact is that in 2025, every economy on the planet is basically based, almost every economy on the planet is based on a private investment for private profit model. And if we put profit as the only indicator of success, what we will see is an increasing number of these issues, not just in terms of deaths, but in terms of long-term effects, especially on younger people, especially children, who find themselves born in an environment which is not fit for humans. It's an extraordinary statistic. 25% of deaths in the last financial year across the globe due to environmental factors. And that's why the struggle that's going on regarding plastic production versus just recycling plastics is a fundamental struggle that goes beyond the profitability of countries which rely on fossil fuels. You're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. You can go to YouTube, 3CR YouTube. You can leave messages on 0439 395 489, 0439 395 489.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Now, just in case you've forgotten, today's the 6th of August. Today's Hiroshima Day. That is the day on the 6th of August, 1945, when the United States of America dropped a nuclear bomb on Hiroshima, which resulted in the deaths of over 140,000 people. And then 2 days later, dropped the nuclear bomb on the city of Nagasaki, which caused the deaths of over 75,000 people. I think 80 years later, I think it's important, especially in an era where we hear governments, especially the Russian government and the United States government, talking about using tactical nuclear weapons in their current disputes. Now, those nuclear bombs which were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were very, very, very destructive, but at the same time, compared to the, I think it's over 3,000 nuclear bombs which now sit around the Earth, they are nothing. A hydrogen bomb can do much more destruction. And for us to reach the stage that we have governments rattling the nuclear saber in their, wars, highlights how far we haven't come since 1945. And although there will be commemorations Hiroshima and around the world, I remember 30, 40 years ago, Hiroshima Day was a significant day in the lives of a lot of people, including people in Australia. But today, it's something which people have forgotten, and we shouldn't forget there are nuclear-armed states on the planet today. And I'm talking about just North Korea with its 4 or 5 bombs, or Israel with its 100 bombs. I'm talking about places like France, England, Pakistan, India, the United States. We We're talking about thousands of nuclear bombs, which can be released at any time. And if we've got to a situation where people are talking about using tactical nuclear bombs to push their agenda, you begin to realise that we are on a path to a mutual destruction. It wasn't enough that we have to worry about plastics, the climate emergency. We now have to worry about the re-emergence of the nuclear option in the game that nation states play among themselves. Let's move on. Now, some interesting statistics. Yeah, I know statistics, they're boring because they're facts. I know facts are boring, you know. The buffoon Buffalini in Washington, he doesn't like the facts. He changes the head of the department, which gives him the facts. Very Mussolini-like strategy. He doesn't really change the facts, but you do feel better for a while. But we've just had some interesting facts have been published in the last few days regarding the mental health system across the country, across Australia. And if you look at the results, it's basically not fit for purpose, especially the public mental health system. Not fit for purpose. But what we forget, and I spoke about this last week and I'd like to reiterate it this week, is that psychological issues don't happen in a vacuum. Obviously, there are a small number of psychological issues which are genetically, have got a genetic basis to them, although we haven't, to a significant degree, worked out that chain, that genetic chain, that genome. And I'm talking about some of the major psychiatric issues like schizophrenia, you know, the list goes on and on. But there is an increasing rate of anxiety and reactive depression in Australian society. And you would think, we're not being bombed, we're not being starved, this is in Gaza. Why is there such an increasing rate of anxiety, increasing rate of depression in our community? Why are so many children now burdened with so many mental health issues at such a young age? And we tend to think of this as a individual issue or a family issue. We never seem to incorporate the type of society we live in as a major factor in the increasing levels of reactive depression and anxiety which an increasing number of people face in our society, irrespective of social media. Irrespective. It's all very well to point the finger at social media and say, oh, it's social media's fault. Or point the finger at the family and say, oh, it's the family's fault. Or point the finger at the individual and say, it's all their fault. And that's why the mental health system is having so much trouble dealing with the tsunami of anxiety and reactive depression which is affecting so many people in Australian society. Because we don't look at the structural issues, we don't look at the issues behind the increasing levels of anxiety and reactive depression, which are due to the increasing levels of inequality. I know it's not a pleasant thing to say. Increasing levels of insecurity. Increasing levels of scrutiny of individuals in social media. So the mental health issues we have are not just a personal problem. They're much more. They highlight to a significant degree the type of society we have become. Where the only thing that seems to be important is the profit motive, consumerism. And as more and more people face an increasing level of insecurity in terms of meeting their financial obligations, in terms of keeping body and soul together, we do see, and we will see, continuing levels of anxiety and reactive depression and interpersonal violence and crime. And that no mental health system, no matter how well funded, is going to be able to address or deal with. And the tragedy is, as the levels of anxiety and reactive depression increase in the community, there is such little focus on those major psychiatric disorders which have such a profound impact, not just on the individual and their family, but in certain cases in society as a whole. We tend to ignore them unless something spectacular happens, like a mass stabbing. We tend to put them aside. We tend not to use the necessary resources to deal with those issues because the system is totally overloaded with psychiatric or psychological issues, which to a significant degree are the results of the type of society we live in and the type of society we've created, where the only thing that seems to be important is, you know, the amount of money people are able to, you know, make. You listen to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. My name's Joseph Toscano. Let's move on. Gaza. Well, isn't it nice to hear that the war criminal who claims is the Prime Minister, well, he is the Prime Minister of Israel, the chap we all love to love, thinks that the way to resolve the issue in Palestine is to reoccupy Gaza. After 20 months, 60,000 deaths, the deaths of 1,200 Israelis, the deaths of half of the hostages that were taken, the continued bombing, the starvation, the fact that the earth and the world is sitting on its fingers saying, tut tut, we're going to recognise the state of Israel, but we're not going to do much regarding what's happening in Gaza, that somehow the Prime Minister and his Defence Minister and the rest of his cabinet, war criminals, each and every one of them, somehow thinks that the total occupation of Gaza, irrespective of the increasing levels of civilian traumatisation, is going to resolve the issue. Well, obviously, the people who marched across the Sydney Harbour Bridge and have been protesting across Australia on a weekly basis will disagree with them. And obviously an increasing number of Australians are disagreeing with them. But when the Prime Minister of Australia says we will increase humanitarian aid to Gaza by $20 million, you think to yourself, well, the little house you bought on the south coast was worth $4 million. You know, what's $20 million in a society that has $1 trillion as its national income? Or is it $2 trillion? You know, what's $20 million? I mean, do we, obviously an increasing number of Australians, understand that what we are seeing in Gaza is not war, okay? It is not war. What we see in the Ukraine and Russia is war. What we see in Myanmar is civil war. But what we are seeing in Gaza is not war, it's carnage. Total carnage. And it doesn't matter what you think. The reality is reality. And that's the problem is that unless more Israeli citizens begin to protest and more Israeli reservists refuse to fight, then the carnage that's occurring in Gaza will increase, because the world has decided, the Palestinians, or the world's leaders have decided, the Palestinians, especially in Gaza, are disposable. They don't matter. If they did matter, you'd see a little bit of war, you know, you would see a bit of what we call gunboat diplomacy. You would see, you know, ships ringing Gaza from those countries which say they are concerned about what's happening in Gaza. You don't see that. We still see us giving support, military support, verbal support, and to a lesser degree, media support to the war criminals which currently make up the Israeli cabinet. Now, I can talk about this ad nauseum, but this is an issue that really the world, and what that means is the sovereign nation states in the world, need to deal with. Because if what is occurring in Gaza, the genocide that's occurring in Gaza, is allowed to continue, what that means is that any other nation state on the planet can follow the same pathway to, you know, and say, well, it's happening in our nation state. It's our problem. Keep your nose out of it. It's got nothing to do with you. Keep away while we continue this barbarism. Once again, you're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, and obviously I am pleased, and I'm sure a lot of pleased, that momentum is going the other way. I think initially many, many people forgot about the history of Palestine. They forgot what happened in 1946. They all began to think that it all began, history in Israel and Palestine began in 2023, October 2023. That was just a reaction to the situations the Gazans had found themselves in the last 20 years, since the Israeli occupation had been withdrawn, but a blockade had been placed around Gaza. The carnage continues, but fortunately, more and more people around the globe are beginning to put their foot down and say, enough is enough is enough is enough. All right, let's move on. I'd just like to remind you that the Eureka Australia Day Medal nominations are now open. They'll be closing, I think, around the 10th of November or early November. Every year, the Reclaim the Radical Spirit of the Eureka Rebellion Celebrations Group, the Anarchist Mirror Institute and Ballarat Trades Hall, gives out 6 Eureka medals to individuals or organisations which have promoted human rights, which have promoted egalitarianism, which have promoted direct action as a mechanism via which to initiate change. Now, this is a nomination process. It's up to you. Obviously, many people that listen to The Anarchist World This Week have ideas. We prefer to give out the medals to people living in this country or people who were born in this country, who've been involved in radical activities, whose activities reflect the sentiments expressed in the Eureka Oath. We swear by the Southern Cross to stand truly by each other and fight to defend our rights and liberties. So if you know of somebody, they don't have to be a big name or a tall poppy, but you know of somebody who's done the hard yards, done the work, is continuing to do the work, well, nominate them. You can nominate them in a number of ways. You can leave a message on 0439 395 489. You need to leave their name and a contact point of contact for them, and maybe a few words of why you've nominated them. You can also nominate by going to info@pibci.net, info@pibci.net. And you can even write to us at Post Office Box 20, Parkville 3052. Post Office Box 20, Parkville 3052. So let's see those nominations roll in. You're listening to The Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. Foreign interference laws. Well, we've just seen somebody else charged under the foreign interference laws. Obviously, it was a Chinese national. It seems to be in Chinese nationals all the time. That's what I want to talk about. Now, look, I'm not going to make any comment about the charges. Obviously, these are in the courts. But I'm really interested in how the foreign interference laws are enacted by the Australian Federal Police. Who they look at. Now, I've been the coordinator for the West Papuan Rent Collective for the last over a decade. Now, West Papuan activists, including last week, I'm not talking about, you know, are harassed by members of the Indonesian embassy and Indonesian consulates around this country, having their photographs taken, having what they're doing monitored. And it's done openly. It's not done covertly. It's actually done openly. The Indonesian government feels so secure in its ability to interfere in the lives of Australian citizens and permanent residents, that is quite happy to collect information and attempt to derail the activities of an organisation which is based in this country. But does anybody ever contact us regarding foreign interference? Well, obviously, currently the Indonesian government is a friend of Australia. And it seems to me that friends of Australia never are looked at or examined in terms of their foreign interference in the affairs of particular groups in this country. Now, the current charges based on a Chinese citizen trying to influence or get information on a Buddhist group, right? So why don't we see the Australian Federal Police look at the Indonesian government's foreign interference in this country in terms of trying to marginalise and shut down the West Papuan movement, the West Papuan independence struggle? Now, we are seeing carnage in Gaza, but there has been carnage in West Papua for 60 years. Over 500,000 West Papuans have died in that struggle, and let's not forget there's only about 1 million native or indigenous West Papuans left in West Papua. As I speak, atrocities continue to be committed by the Indonesian government. But obviously, although we've got foreign interference laws, we don't actually see the Australian Federal Police and the Australian government take any interest to protect its own citizens. Now, if you are interested in the West Papuan independence movement, on the 31st of August, that's Sunday the 31st of August, we'll be holding a West Papuan Rent Collective gathering at the office at 838 Collins Street in Melbourne, which is where the West Papuan office is located. Just walk around to the back. There's a barbecue area and there's an area for meetings. And you're welcome to come. Bring your camera. Sell your pictures to the West Papua, to the Indonesian authorities. I'm sure they'll have their own people there. But come along. Come along. Lunch at 1 p.m. Guest speakers, auction, meet many of the West Papuan activists who continue to struggle for the independence of the West Papuan people from the Indonesian domination. You're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. This program has been streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is podcast. Just go to Anarchist World This Week, 3cr.org.au. And obviously, to all those listeners who are listening across the country from various community radio stations, north to south, east to west, in every state of this country and possibly some of the territories, I'd like to thank the Community Radio Network for broadcasting The Anarchist World This Week across the country. I'd also like to thank those other radio stations which take The Anarchist World This Week, who are outside the Community Radio Network. I mean, any organisation, the program is now on YouTube. You can access it by just Googling Anarchist World This Week, and the list goes on. And as I said, there are podcasts. Now, one last thing. Now, those of you who are regular listeners to The Anarchist World This Week know that public housing is one of the major issues that we have been promoting for decades. Now, for the last 10 years, that's right, 10 years, public housing, everybody's business, and Defend and Extend Public Housing has been holding a vigil outside the Victorian Parliament, on the steps of the Victorian Parliament House, from midday to 1 p.m. every week for 10 years. And after a lot of pressure, the Victorian Greens Party was actually able to have a legislative assembly inquiry into the destruction of the public housing towers around Melbourne. Now, public housing, everybody's business, put in a submission, and you can access that submission by going to the Legislative Council website. I think it was about 30 pages. I wrote the submission. If you go to the Public Housing Everybody's Business, there are links to the submission. Now, last week, I thought to myself, we're finally getting somewhere. Public Housing Everybody's Business was invited to address the Victorian Legislative Council inquiry into the destruction of the public housing towers and why public housing was so important. Now, obviously, we've had a radical position, and that radical position is very simple, that public housing should be publicly owned and publicly managed, and that the affordable community social housing sector is basically private enterprise. Maybe not for profit, but it's private enterprise. And what we are seeing is the privatisation of the public housing sector, especially in Victoria. It's government policy. Not only is it government policy, it's also opposition policies. Let's not forget, the only reason the opposition supported the inquiry, that's the Victorian opposition, was to, embarrass the government. But guess what, boys and girls, guess what? 2 days after I was issued an invitation to present the public housing everybody's business objectives to the Legislative Council inquiry, we were cancelled. Cancel culture. We were cancelled. We were told that we were no longer wanted. 10 years on the steps of the Victorian Parliament House, standing against the Victorian Minister for Public Housing, Mr. Foley, 10 years ago. 10-day continuous process on the steps of the Victorian Parliament House for public housing. Invitation rescinded. And I found out why the invitation was rescinded this morning. The Minister for Housing will be addressing the Legislative Assembly inquiry at 4 p.m. Almost the same time we were invited to give our position. It's not just us, but it seems that any public housing group with a radical agenda, and that radical agenda is very simple, to maintain public housing in public hands, has had their invitation rescinded. Isn't it wonderful? As I keep saying, direct action is the only way forward when they can't even afford to give you a few minutes to speak your piece. You begin to understand what you're fighting against. Thank you once again for listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. My name is Joseph Toscano. The program is podcast. Go to 3cr.org.au. The program is coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. You can leave messages on 0439 395 489. 0439 395 489. You can actually write to us. I know it's unbelievable. It's $1.70 the stamps. Post Office Box 20, Parkville 3052. Post Office Box 20, Parkville 3052. YouTubes, you know, there's thousands of YouTubes out there. Go and go for it. The important thing is become active. Forget about appearing at inquiries. Ultimately, it's like those people who walked over the Sydney Harbour Bridge for Gaza. It's that direct action which changes political decisions. Thank you once again for listening to The Anarchist World This Week, and thank you once again for being part of that small section of society that uses direct action and is active in our purposes to change society to reflect that new world in our hearts. Listen in to The Anarchist World This Week on your local community radio station, courtesy of the Community Radio Network, next week. And next week, I'm doing a theoretical piece, which I'll pre-record because I'm going to have a rest. Unbelievable. Listen in next week, and I'll be talking about the Australian Constitution. Don't fall asleep. Just listen in next week.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.